The final results are still not in for last month's election in Afghanistan, but the initial returns suggest the new parliament will include warlords and former members of the Taliban. Some of the new leaders are considered war criminals by human rights groups. And this has many Afghans doubting the legitimacy of the new parliament, the possibility of justice, and the chances for long-lasting peace. NPR's Rachel Martin reports from Kabul.
25-year-old Masood Ahmadi lives in the middle-class neighborhood of Karte Parwan in Kabul. The Ahmadis moved here 9 years ago after their house was destroyed in the civil war. In the early 1990s, military factions ravaged the city of Kabul and killed thousands of innocent people, including Ahmadi's older brother.
He had brought the bread with him, and as soon as he entered the house, the rocket came and landed in our house, and the shrapnels of the rocket killed him on the spot.
Ahmadi's brother was caught in the crossfire between forces loyal to Haji Mohammed Mohaqiq and Abdul Sayyaf, two of the militia leaders whose alleged war crimes have been documented by international groups like Human Rights Watch. Now, according to preliminary results, both these men and a long list of other militia leaders, Taliban and ex-communists with equally dismal human rights records, will sit in Afghanistan's new parliament. That, says Ahmadi, is unacceptable.
How can you believe that a warlord, a traitor and a criminal goes to parliament and would do good to people in the parliament? I can never accept this idea, and neither does my family.
But Mohammed Mohaqiq, the top vote-getter in Kabul in the parliamentary voting, believes most Afghans support the new parliament.
People don't call me a warlord. People regard me as the climax of their hopes. We've got 380 candidates in Kabul, and I got 1/8 of the vote. What kind of a warlord I am if all people vote for me? We should respect the vote of people. Insulting the new leaders in parliament is an insult to the Afghan people.
Other likely parliamentary members like 33-year-old Shakira Barazan disagree. 35% of the parliamentary seats have been reserved for women, and initial results made this former schoolteacher and mother of three a winner. But Barazan says she doesn't have much confidence in what her new parliamentary colleagues will do for women's rights.
Now I'm not very hopeful for the parliament. These people, they never respected law. They never accepted law as on the top. They are now as a lawmaker for us. It's very difficult, I know, because our aim is much different than theirs.
Nader Nasri, the director of the Afghan Independent Human Rights Commission, says the controversial makeup of the new parliament was inevitable because of how the international community, led by the United States, tried to fix Afghanistan after the Taliban was ousted in 2001. Instead of bringing the warlords, militia leaders, and former Taliban before a war crimes tribunal, they were welcomed as legitimate partners in the reconstruction process. Nasri says now, 4 years later, Afghanistan will pay the price.
We have now a democracy by accommodation. And we have these guys now sitting in the parliament. And the consequences for human rights and democratic development in Afghanistan would not present a positive picture.
The Afghan Human Rights Commission has been pushing a plan to bring Afghan war criminals to trial. But Nasri says it's gone nowhere because neither President Hamid Karzai nor the U.S. government has given it aggressive backing. Officials at the U.S. Embassy in Kabul say it's up to Afghanistan to decide if and how to prosecute war criminals. Meanwhile, disillusioned Afghans like Masood Ahmadi say if these men are allowed to govern the country, the future of Afghanistan will be bleak.
I'm fed up with these guys, and I cannot accept their being here in power. Once again, they will turn everything to fighting and to war. So I've made up my mind to leave the country if they go to parliament.
Final official results in the parliamentary election are expected to be released October 22nd. Rachel Martin, NPR News, Kabul.